This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:05, and our first story today is about finally getting officially paid to allow companies and social media to use and sell our information. Because, of course, before this, we weren't the ones getting paid. It was just the companies.
So specifically, it's about Facebook. They just launched a paid market research program in the form of an Android app called Study from Facebook. Anyone can download the app, but you can only use it if you were recruited by Facebook to be part of the program. The company will collect extra data from participants in exchange for a monthly payment.
Users will also be warned that Facebook will gather data like which apps are on their phone, how much time they spend using those apps, the app activity, the names of features they use in other apps, their country, device, network type. So A lot of very fundamental information about how you use your phone, and how you use other apps within it.
Yeah. So I think their goal here is to get critical insights on how to design and shape their products. So if, for example, people are using more apps with screen sharing features, they could add that in their into their product design too. So for the first time, I guess, in its history of collecting data this way, they are saying that they're doing it with principles. They're using transparency as a guiding tenet, saying that they will approach market research in a responsible way.
However, I mean, this is coming at a time when Facebook has been caught with their pants down. It's not the first time that we've heard issues surrounding Facebook and privacy. And Facebook had been quietly operating a research program called Atlas that paid users aged between 13 to 35 up to $20 per month in gift cards in order to gather their data. And Atlas was a lot scarier. It could collect private messages and content and potentially even data of your friends if you had the app.
And the scary bit here is that, of course, it involved people who are minors, the ages of 13 to 17. So they were paying young people just to get their data, just to see how they can get more critical insights into who they were as people, and then later formulate that into something they could use.
I'm wondering whether this is going to be seen as Facebook doing enough. As you rightly said earlier, they have been facing a huge trust deficit, if not so much in other parts of the world, then definitely in the United States, where there have been multiple moments of being just kind of caught out, being asked to testify in front of Congress. It's just ongoing. So the fact that they're now trying to do it in a very transparent way, the fact that they're saying you have to download the app, you know, only some people will be able to participate in it, whether that changes things, whether that makes people want to use Facebook more or use Study for that matter, I think it remains to be seen. I'm not sure it's enough to make up for it.
Yeah, I don't think so either. You know, we are seeing data and information becoming a new source of income. Some have called it the new oil as opposed to anything. I think it's also becoming and going to a place where, similarly with oil, we didn't really know how to manage it back then, and we are facing the consequences today, and we will continue to face the consequences in the future. I believe the same thing will happen with data, where we haven't really been careful with it. We've allowed companies to somewhat exchange, well, we give you a free service, so you are paying with it, with your data. Though again, that's also not necessarily true, because then the data is used to force you or make you or encourage you to buy things you don't need.
Yes, and also on a fundamental level, the Facebook, these companies need your content.
Yeah.
You know, because the only reason people are continuing to go to the app, use the app, is because other people are providing content and people want to also do the same. So it has become a deeply symbiotic relationship. I mean, whenever we talk about this, there are always people who I think pretty accurately point out that they don't have a problem with it, that you know what, like, there is no such thing as privacy in this modern world, and therefore whatever, you know, if Facebook and Instagram want to take their information, sure. So I think it's good in the sense that Study is actually making it explicit and saying, okay, if you participate in this, this is what we will be needing from you, and this is what you'll be getting in return. Although what you'll be getting in return is still unclear. They haven't actually said how they're compensating.
And I'm not sure whether they will yet, though I'm assuming someone will eventually leak it, because for the first one of the first other attempts that they did was just to offer a $20 gift card. Not really a good enough compensation for so much information about yourself, I think.
Yes. So we are going to be talking about what this might mean for the protection of our data. We'll be speaking after this with Fung Cheng Leong from the Malaysian Bar Committee about personal data protection. Keep it here on the Evening Edition. And in the meantime, also tell us what you think. You know, do you think that this is a fair trade-off to finally have a separate app where you can be compensated for allowing Facebook to just use and gather your information? Or are you done with Facebook? Is it over? Have you deleted it? Are you just completely over it? Call us and let us know. 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bring forth Moolah, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to the Evening Edition today with Lynn and Kelvin. We're talking about a new thing that Facebook has put out because they're finally trying to get it right. They're attempting it. So it is called Study from Facebook. It's an Android app. And what's happening with that is that they'll gather data from your phone and compensate you in some way for it. How much or how is still unclear at this point in time.
Yeah, but it's a lot of data that you're giving them. You're giving them how you use the phone, how what other apps are you using, and how are you using those other apps as well.
So we're trying to wrap our heads around it and see what the repercussions of it might be. On the line with us is Matt Armitage from Culture Pop. Matt, always good to have you on the show.
Hey, Lynn, how are you doing?
Well, thank you. So to start us off, right, could you share your thoughts on this app that's going to be paying users for data?
Yeah, I mean, this is another example of, I think, Facebook being a little bit tone deaf in the space of data. We know Facebook's had a lot of problems in terms of the way third-party companies have used its data. It's said that it's at the forefront of trying to fix these problems. Earlier this year, it announced that it was pivoting towards protecting the privacy of data. But we come to these kind of fundamental disconnects about what the company believes privacy to be and what us, the users, consumers, believe privacy to be. So, yeah, this does seem to be Facebook, again, taking this kind of tone-deaf step into this field of harvesting more and more data from its users.
So Facebook says they are, well, being more transparent here in their approach to collecting data. Should we trust this more responsible approach to data collection?
Well, I mean, that's the word transparent is a bit of a misnomer here. I think what we have is still this fundamental misunderstanding on the part of consumers of what their data is actually worth. When you look at industries, all industries need data on their consumers. They need to do market research. They need to do testing. If you look at the automotive industry, for example, they use crash test dummies for crash testing because you're not allowed to put real people in a car and crash it into a wall at 30 kilometers an hour. It would be far more useful for car companies to be able to use live humans for that testing. What we don't have is the same understanding that data can be damaging and hurtful. We understand that it would be stupid to place live humans in a car and let the car industry test on you. But we don't understand that that same thing applies to data-oriented companies, that this data that we're giving them can essentially be weaponized against us and can be used in negative or in ways that will negatively impact our lives in the future.
Matt, I mean, it kind of sounds to me like what you're saying is that if we ever really or, you know, en masse understood what that meant, understood what this lack of transparency actually meant, that we would all just quit social media and the world as we know it would crumble. I mean, is that it? The fact that if we truly understood what we were giving up in terms of data privacy, that none of us would be on social media?
Partly, but we are also partly to blame for what's happened because we chose the business model that companies like Facebook have. We chose not to pay them for their services. So we've forced them into this position where they have to monetize data. It would be far easier to give Facebook $20 a month and say, no, you're not having any of my data. You're not using that information. You just provide a social media service. That would be a far easier enterprise than the one that we have now. And yes, you're right. We don't understand the value of this data. We don't understand how this data can intersect with other forms of data. We don't understand how randomized and anonymous data can actually be used or reverse engineered to identify us, to identify our location, to identify our friends and our social habits. I don't know whether we would all decide to quit social media, but if we understood that more broadly, we would probably choose for these companies to use a different business model.
Should we then, I guess, be worried at all about what this Facebook app could mean about data security of social media apps in general?
Well, I don't know if it threatens the security of apps specifically. I mean, that would depend on the security protocols that are built into the app itself. Other companies' apps will have safeguards. The root systems, the operating systems, will also have safeguards that prevent this app from doing too much harm beyond what users have granted in terms of permissions. Where we get into these areas are just about normalizing this behavior. One of the things that we've seen over the past sort of 15, 20 years, you can kind of look at the way the data harvesting companies have moved as essentially a bit like a land grab, because they've operated in a sphere where they're the ones making the rules. So these things that we consider to be norms, that we consider to be everyday occurrences, which is giving these companies our data, is simply a norm that they themselves have established. And we can also say, no, we don't want to adhere to these norms anymore. We want these rules to be changed, because they're not really rules. They're just the operating procedures of these companies. They're not laws, they're not guidelines, they're not rules. They can be changed.
Do you see study catching on? I mean, just broadly speaking, do you think people are going to want to participate in it? And do you think that that might then lead on to that knock-on effect of, like you said, you know, knocking on the doors of these social media companies and going, well, this is the only way I want to be able to provide my data. I don't want you just harvesting it in general.
Well, you see, that comes back to what the data is being used for. Just because somebody's paying for your data doesn't make it any more morally or ethically acceptable than harvesting that data for nothing. That's why I used the analogy of the crash test dummies, because it is very extreme. But it's also a very clear moral case. You can't use human beings in that kind of test. You shouldn't be able to use human beings for these kind of tests either. I think there's still a very clear moral argument here that we shouldn't be allowing this kind of monetization of the data. I think one figure I read, and I can't remember exactly how accurate this is, but it was something along the lines that every Facebook user had a value of around $28 to the company. So you can see, even if that's per annum. So if the company paid all of its users $20 per annum for their data, it would still be making a clear profit of $8 per person. So, you know, you have to look at the value that you have to the company, the value of your data, what your privacy is actually worth to you, because that's another thing, that this information, it's not just private, it's privileged information. And why are you giving that privilege to people so cheaply? And there's also the issue of, I think in the earlier study, Facebook paid users around $20 a month. Now, they're not saying how much they're going to pay with this new app, but if you look at markets like the US, now $20 a month may not seem like very much. But in developing economies like India, paying somebody $20 a month, that is quite a large incentive for someone to give up that privacy, even against their better judgment. So you're looking at cash-rich companies using that power for their own economic advantage, which, again, is not really... if you look at sort of economic orthodoxy, that's not how companies are supposed to behave. That's signs of a distorted or non-functioning marketplace. So we are allowing these companies, especially in developing countries, to go in and to make these very distortion-creating behaviors that really make it very hard for anyone to compete with them, but also put their own customers and consumers at a disadvantage.
Matt, thank you so much for sharing that perspective with us.
My pleasure. Thanks very much.
That was Matt Armitage from Culture Pop weighing in on study buy from Facebook. What's the preposition?
Study, I think, buy from.
Which is basically an app that's going to allow the company to, in their words, transparently take your information because you have agreed to it. It is an awful lot of information. And we've been asking you as well whether or not this is something that you feel comfortable with. Do you think that this is actually a step in the right direction in terms of transparency for social media? Let us know. You can call 777-332-900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, we obviously also wanted to see what this might mean for the protection of our data.
So we spoke to Fong Cheng Leong from the Malaysian Bar Committee on Personal Data Protection on this. He explained that the rationale behind tech companies paying consumers for their data.
There are a few reasons why businesses pay consumers for their data. Number one is that they get customized information rather than jumbled out or unorganized data. And two, there's list of invasion of privacy as information is obtained with consent. I think that this study app to reward users for their data is good because there will be less risk of invasion of privacy and also that the information that is being flown from the users to Facebook, for example, would be controlled.
So he also shared some concerns about how the app could be misused and how reliable the data would be.
The one possible drawback is that the users will end up using the app, for example, for too long just to get paid more. Other drawback of this study app is that the information that they collect may not be reliable because the users, for example, they will control, because they know they are being tracked, they will control the conduct of themselves on the app.
And according to Cheng Leong, consent could also be a problematic area when tech companies pay consumers for the data.
Another privacy concern is that they may involve the data of other third parties. For example, if you're a parent, you may publish information about your children, your wife, and your family's friends. So this kind of information would be normally in pictures or videos. So with Facebook or any other third parties collecting this information, they certainly no consent to obtain, store this information.
That was Fong Cheng Leong from the Malaysian Bar Committee on Personal Data Protection weighing in on a new app by Facebook that's going to allow them to harvest information in what they say is transparent, in what they say is a transparent way of doing it.
Sure. It's always clean and clandestine with Facebook.
Oh, lovely. Dr. J says, with regards to Facebook paying for my data, never, ever, never, never. I would never allow a company like Facebook to collect my data. I fear the monopoly of the data to a company like Facebook, and I guess, you know, the Google and Huawei scenario has led me to see firsthand how atrocious a particular company can be towards the end user. So I would never allow a monopolizing company like Facebook to collect my data any more than I need to. I also have stopped socializing on Facebook and only use it strictly for business.
The issue is also that companies continue to harvest your data and you can't seem to be able to opt out of that whether you want to or not. Any Google search you do, Google collects that and builds a profile of you. Anything you say to your personal AI assistant, be it Siri or Google itself or even Alexa, that information is collected to build a profile about you as well. So there really needs to be a more concerted effort from the end of users as well as NGOs to make sure that companies like Google, like Facebook and Huawei, that they are no longer able to extract the data without our knowledge.
Either that, or as Matt says, you know, we might need to just have more education and awareness about what it means to do, so that if and when it all goes south, as we have seen it do, as we have seen it go south in the past, right? If and when that happens, at least you knew.
Yeah.
At least you knew what you were getting yourself into, as opposed to, but I just shared photos of my baby. I don't understand. What's going on?
No one reads that 50, 60 page privacy agreement anyway.
They make it that long for a reason. talk to us about social media. Have you given up on Facebook? Does it matter to you that they're now attempting to be transparent in terms of how they obtain your data? Call us and let us know. 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
We have been talking about social media, specifically Facebook. They've launched a new app where they're saying that they're going to be more transparent about what they want from your phone, and you, in return, will be compensated. So it's not for everybody. It's an Android app. Only select people will be able to participate. But it does raise some interesting questions, as it always does, about this issue of privacy, how much data we give up. And we did want to know, are you giving up on Facebook? Are you giving up on social media? Or have you made an uneasy deal with yourself about privacy and what you're giving up for the sake of free content?
Or have you just relented? You know, what's the point in trying to save what I have? They already know everything about me.
Oh, that is a very dystopian take. You can call us 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. We have a caller who would prefer to remain anonymous on the line with us. Good evening. What are your thoughts?
Hi. When I signed up for Facebook 13 years ago, I was a very proud mom, you know, uploaded all my baby pictures, everything about me was like an open book for my school friends only. So I blocked everyone from my family, my husband, everything. No, nobody except for my school friends. But because I made some comments that probably triggered some people, they said, this is a fake account, because my account was put under my nickname, not my real name as in IC. So Facebook actually responded to that complaint and locked me out from my account unless I give up a photo ID and, you know, to confirm my identity and all that. So I'm not willing to do that because of that Cambridge Analytical thing. Remember that time when we found out that everything that we do is actually being monitored by Facebook and used for their marketing strategy. Mm-hmm. So I stopped. So some of my friends said, hey, how come we don't read any of your posting anymore? So are you alive? Are you okay? You know, they were that concerned. So I had to tell them I have been locked out from my account and I can't access my baby pictures, those precious pictures and all the memoir. I thought, you know, by 60, I could just use Facebook as a diary. So I can't do that anymore. But it's a price that I have to pay for my privacy. I don't want Facebook to use my data for anything else. No, no.
And has this changed in general how you approach social media? Because when we look at the landscape, I suppose, of things where we could use it as a photo diary of sorts, in many ways they are, I mean, the two biggest ones are Facebook and Instagram, which really just means Facebook.
No, never do that, because when I advertise my rooms on mudah.my, it appears on my Facebook feed. You know,
right.
you won't even know that they are doing everything. I mean, they are monitoring everything you do, from what you order on Foodpanda, Grab. Everything is linked to your Facebook. So when you sign up, say, oh, you want to go on booking.com, you can sign in via Facebook or email. I would rather do email. Do not sign in as Facebook, because they are listening, they are watching, they are spooky. Facebook is spooky.
Thank you so much for calling and for sharing that story. And we're really sorry about the baby photos.
And there's really no other way, no better term than to call Facebook spooky. Spooky is the right description of Facebook at this moment.
Yes, but it continues to be a trade-off that many people are willing to make. I mean, as we talk about this, I still have a Facebook account. It continues to exist. I don't do a lot on it, but because it is there, it does mean, and because I have used it for the last decade, you know, it is an awful lot of information that, like you said, is already given up.
Yeah, and, you know, I started my Facebook account when I was still a teenager. And yeah, there's a lot of things that I wish I could take back, but it's just there. I can't take it back anymore.
Talk to us about social media. Have you given up on Facebook? Does it matter to you that they're now attempting to be transparent in terms of how they obtain your data? Call us and let us know. 7733-2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.